Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to the Auburn Express.
What's up in War Eagle War Report family? Your guy Ike Jones back with another morning drop. And today we are talking about offensive line. How can Auburn get better in the trenches in year two under offensive line coach Jake Thornton? Let's talk about it. Y'all know how we do right here, War Report style. Let's drop it on them.
You are now listening to the War Report.
Morning drop. It's your guy Ike Jones here on March the 12th, Tuesday morning, talking a little more Auburn football. Hopefully everybody is going to be having a great day today. And we're going to be talking about the, what they call the big uglies up front. You know, let's talk about this offensive line room. And it's a room that performed pretty well last year. I don't think that it definitely has some room to improve, but I think it wasn't the biggest issue for Auburn wasn't the offensive line, but there are some places that Auburn can definitely improve in the offensive line. But let's talk about it. Coach Jake Thornton coming into his second season as the offensive line coach, able to kind of revitalize a room that had really been kind of overlooked over in the last few coaching staffs. So Coach Hugh Freeze and company doing a good job of replenishing the trenches and focusing on ways to get better up front. Before we get too far into the conversation, please do me the necessary and share the content out there with somebody so that they know we're in here having this great conversation today. And, if you haven't subscribed to the channel, go ahead and click that subscribe button and turn your notification bells on for those of you who are subscribed so you know when our content is dropping, because we are constantly giving you guys new and fresh content out here with the War Report. Let's begin our conversation talking about the people who are no longer here going into the spring and talk about the departures for the offensive line unit. First and foremost, let's start that conversation with the most senior member. I mean, I know it's not number one on this list right here, but Cam Stutz, gone from this team, really high performing person in his senior season. Someone who I don't think going into the year, a lot of people thought was going to be as good as he tended to be during the season, but really one of the better performers on the offensive line and noticeably different unit when he wasn't in there. But Cam Stutz going to be missed, the more senior person there. But starting with another senior guy who's gone and didn't lose anybody to the transfer portal this offseason, which is great. And I didn't, and I'll apologize in advance to the young men who are on this team that are walk-ons. They're not going to be a part of this list as we get into some of these names. So I apologize in advance for not shouting them out as far as putting them on the list. But I will call your name out when we get to the people who are still here. But again, apologizing in advance for that. But Jahlil Irvin, the graduate there, 43 snaps. You can see there he wasn't the best performer up front, but he definitely has a more than the 43 snaps. He was a good reserve center for Auburn over the last few years. So going to be missed as far as his experience in that room. But no longer on the team. Gunnar Britton, who was the transfer over from Western Kentucky, just the one season at Auburn, is now graduated. 791 snaps last year. A lot of experience missing from that position with him no longer being there. We already talked about Cam Stutz. And then Avery Jones, who started the season at center, the transfer over from East Carolina, formerly North Carolina as well, but he was the center and 402 snaps. And you can see the ratings there of what he's going to be departing with going out for his contributions there on the line. But definitely going to miss those contributions, particularly Avery Jones, Cam Stutz, and Gunnar Britton. Those were guys that were playing a significant amount of minutes. Now, Auburn fans not really sad about the center position, and we'll definitely talk about the emergence of one Connor Lue when we get into the folks that are going to be returning. But Avery Jones, the center position's in good hands with Connor Lue coming up here. But Avery Jones did provide a lot of experience and some stability of what they wanted at that position. And so he's going to be missed. But I think, again, the guys you're going to miss the most up front are are going to be Cam Stutz and Gunnar Britton, your two guards, and that's where they primarily played last season, were at the guard positions. Your two guards right there to the left and the right of Gunnar Britton, of Connor Lue or Avery Jones, whichever those spots you really want to say. But they are going to be sorely missed. The most snaps other than Dylan Wade along that offensive line, but a lot of snaps going out of the door with those two guys. And those are going to be two of the places that Auburn's going to have to figure out how are they going to replace the production, productivity, and the leadership that was brought from those young men up front. So going to be, you know, we talk a lot about the quarterback competition. The competition for the offensive guards is going to be one that you're going to want to take a close look at. So when you're talking about that competition, let's look at the guys who are potentially going to be stepping into that spot as the returners in those spots. So when you look at the offensive line, we'll start it with Dylan Wade, who's going to be a senior coming up this season. He had the most snaps of any offensive lineman last season and performed well, particularly in pass blocking. Not the best run blocker, but definitely did well in his run blocking assignments. Well, really, he was average, right? Like, it wasn't anything particularly great, but wasn't anything bad. Dylan Wade, now, a lot of people will look at Dylan Wade and say, at a pro level, he's undersized for a tackle, which is where he played every snap last season for Auburn. And look at the potential of kicking him into one of those guard spots. So that's something that I'll be trying to get confirmation on during this spring camp, whether or not Dylan Wade is going to be moving over there, or if they want to try to solidify him at one of the tackle spots because he's been playing there his entire collegiate career. And are they just going to go with someone who, by the numbers, looks a little undersized to be out there? Or are they going to slide him inside so they keep more people with more experience, best five guys, and try to just get them into a different spot? That's going to be an interesting thing to look at. Tate Johnson last year came into last spring getting a lot of praise from the coaching staff, particularly Coach Hugh Freeze, about his leadership and what he was providing up front. Did not get an opportunity to see a lot of that because Tate Johnson, who has been on this team for a few years now, has struggled with injuries every offseason, so it's hampered his ability to get on the field more consistently during the season. You'll remember Coach Harsin's second year, he was starting at center and then ended up with an injury early in the season, and you never really saw him get back to form there. But he's a guy, I think, that plays better at one of the guard positions, so he will factor into that race. And you can see there what he looked like, and all these numbers courtesy of the pass blocking and run blocking grades, of course, coming from PFS, Pro Football Focus. Braden Joyner, the redshirt freshman, if anybody has been a member here for a while and watched last year when we did the updates on the true freshmen that were coming in that class, you saw how really I was a fan of what Braden Joyner was putting out there on his film. I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do in his redshirt freshman season. He didn't get a spring last year, so coming in and having a spring this time, getting an opportunity to really get into that weight program and figure out, you know, he was a guy who didn't dress out for many games last year, so he was kind of sitting on the sidelines watching. I'm looking forward to seeing what the progress in year two is going to be for that young man. E.J. Harris coming up on his redshirt sophomore season, played slim last year, really was kind of in a reserve duty. So looking to see how he progresses with that. He's another guy that could be in that interior offensive line for Auburn. Jaden Muskrat is a guy who got his opportunities at times last season. He was the transfer over from Tulsa. So he and Dylan Wade both came over from Tulsa. So he's still there, played sparingly, but did get a few opportunities, really more so in mop-up duty or kind of in, you know, somebody went down and got hurt type of situation, but played a decent amount of snaps. Did not perform the best. He was actually one of the lower graded ones, particularly in pass protection last season and the opportunities that he had, but he was at the tackle spot. So going to be interesting to see where he is in the two deep rotation when we come out of spring, because the tackle is one that I think that it's kind of an open competition. Like we know, and when we get to the additions, we'll talk about what Percy is going to bring to that spot. I keep wanting to call him Percy Miller, and I did that one other show, and I apologize. But Percy Lewis, what he's going to be doing, he's definitely going to factor into that. Isavion Miller was another guy who got to play a lot. He's next here on this list. He played the vast majority of the snaps at the opposite tackle from Dylan Wade last year. Struggled a bit in pass protection, and you know, you see here from the numbers, he actually was one of the worst of the guys who played significant snaps, run blockers. So he's a guy that, you know, came up from the JUCO level, has the ideal size. I heard a lot about how he's changed the way his body looks this year. So hopefully he'll be able to be a little bit quicker out there on the exterior and won't lose any of the power that he needs to be able to move, push people in the run game. But Xavion Miller is a guy who's going to look to try to lock up one of those offensive tackle spots. We already talked about Connor Liu, and he is definitely the guy at the center position. I think that that's one of those his job to lose type of things right now. So looking forward to see him progress. As you see there, pass blocking grades were amazing for a true freshman, and he still has a lot to grow on. I expect big things from him coming up next year. Clay Whedon is a guy I think that has been forgotten in this room. He's another guy who, you know, people were excited about him flipping back over from Michigan State when he was out there last season as a freshman. He will be a redshirt freshman coming up into this season, and looking for him to factor in as well into that interior offensive line spot. So there's a lot of bodies that can potentially slide in there and play some minutes, and looking forward to seeing how Coach Thornton rotates those guys and gets them opportunities. Jeremiah Wright, another guy who every offseason his name comes up as a guy who needs to get more opportunities, and every offseason really he's dealt with injuries. So he's another guy who really injuries has hampered his ability to play more consistently and really get himself into a space where he's able to play and refine his craft. And you see there from the numbers, he hasn't really performed to the best, and this is really just last season's numbers, but he did get his opportunities, and I love the ferocity in which he attacks the position. So another guy there on the interior offensive line, I've said this about four or five different guys already, who's going to be a factor in this race and probably has a leg up on some of the other ones from a seniority and just tenacity standpoint. And then you have Tyler Johnson. I think it's kind of a dark horse here at one of those tackle positions. Again, a guy who hasn't played a lot of snaps. A lot of Auburn fans probably don't know a lot about him, but I think he is going to be someone that's going to be pushing Xavion Miller for one of those tackle spots, and potentially will give the coaches some confidence with, along with Dylan Senda, that they can push Dylan Wade into one of the, Jaden Muskrat, not Dylan Senda, because Dylan Senda actually plays interior offensive line. He's more of a center slash guard, but along with Jaden Muskrat. So when you look at the tackles, potentially if you have Tyler Johnson out there, you could look at Xavion Miller, Jaden Muskrat, who I just mentioned, as well as Percy Lewis as guys that can go there. And then you'd have some other guys who we haven't talked about that have come into that room, but we will get over into those. But again, I'm looking forward to seeing how all of these young men factor into this race. This is probably one of the more intriguing battles for position groups that are out there that is not being talked about a lot, and that's the interior offensive line. And really, where is Dylan Wade going to factor into this, and how are people going to be able, because if Dylan Wade slides in there to one of your interior spots, that's pretty much locking up one of those spots. You only have one other spot that's going to be available, and there are some guys who are really primed to go in there and take that. And I would not count out a name like Brayton Joyner in this. I would not count out Clay Whedon in this, even though you have Jeremiah Wright sitting right there, and I think he's got the inside track on that other spot. So looking forward to seeing how that happens with those guys. Really quickly, just want to give you a quick word from our sponsor today before we get over into the additions on the offensive line. And of course, the Morning Drop is brought to you by The Rogue Shop, where you can get over to America's number one online dispensary, sleep, stress, pain, relief, anxiety, all of those things. You can get something there for you at The Rogue Shop. Make sure you head over there using code RAPPORT. That lets them tell you the Ward Report sent you. And we appreciate you guys for sponsoring that, and appreciate those of you who are continuing to patronize the folks that sponsor us.
War Report family, you are listening to The Morning Drop, where we talk about the most recent and relevant Auburn sports news. We broadcast live from the War Report's YouTube channel on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central Time. You're welcome to come watch it live, but the live chat is reserved for our YouTube channel members only. So come on by, become a member, and get active in the best Auburn sports community on the webs. We'll be right back after we pay a couple bills. Thanks for sticking around through the ad break. Now here's the rest of your Morning Drop.
Let's get back into our conversation, though, and talk a little bit more about the offensive line. There's only three names to bring up here. Transferring in Percy Lewis, I mentioned him already from Mississippi State. I mean, listen, you can go ahead and pencil him in as having the job to lose out there at one of those tackle positions. He comes in as a guy who has a lot of snaps under his belt there at, well, not a lot, but a decent amount of snaps at Mississippi State. He was a rotational guy there. The biggest thing that Coach Hugh Freeze said about him is he's really only played the air raid in college, so he's got to learn how to play in a slightly different system that's going to have some more solidified blocking assignments, particularly in the run game. We talk about the way those runs are going to be set up as opposed to it being strictly kind of a pass call, and then the quarterback decides whether it's going to be a handoff. So he's got some things that he needs to learn, but I think from a size and physicality perspective, you can go ahead and pencil him in at one of those tackle positions. And then you've got the true freshman coming in, Favor Edwin, who, you know, raw athletic prospect, but not someone who I would anticipate doing much more than redshirting this season. And then lastly, you have Seth Wilford, the guy's coming over from Snow College, who is going to be another one that I think is going to be an interesting proposition, because I think they're going to look at him as potentially kind of like a redshirt guy as well. If he factors in, great. And if he doesn't, then they'll just try to preserve him and have him for depth and ready for the next season. But he is a guy who I think has some potential to be able to factor into this. But I wouldn't, of the additions, I really think the only person that you're really looking at getting any significant looks at as far as snaps coming up this spring and factoring into a race into the fall is going to be Percy Lewis. And so that brings me to the conversation of, after the spring, who is the guy that has the most to prove? And this is always the question I want to ask you all. I know there probably aren't a lot of strong opinions about offensive line out there, but listen, if we're going to put the offensive line and hang them out to dry all the time, let's start to have conversations around who the guys need to be up there that are protecting your quarterbacks and making sure that you have the rush lanes to be able to operate and have a good running attack. Right. So who are the guys that need to prove something this spring in particular, where it's kind of like a put up or get out type of thing? Right. Or put up or sit the bench kind of thing. And I think you have to start that conversation with a guy who I am a big fan of, and that's Jeremiah Wright. He's a guy who has bounced around from offensive line to defensive line, and he's had his opportunities out there, and he really hasn't been given a lot of shots. And during the game, he seems to always, you know, come in later in the season, and people are like, why isn't this guy playing more snaps? Because you see him go out there and bullying people and all this sort of thing. But he's getting injured a lot, and he just really hasn't found his proper footing. And I think this is a season where if he doesn't work for him this spring, I don't know that there's going to be any other opportunities for him to be able to get in there absent of another, someone else getting benched or an injury happening. So I think Jeremiah Wright needs to exit this spring with a firm spot in the two deep at one of those interior lineman positions in order for him to be in a really good spot. I think this spring is a big one for Jeremiah Wright as far as his future in collegiate athletics and Auburn University is concerned. Next up, I'm going to say it's Izavion Miller, most to prove this time. He didn't have the greatest showing when he was out there, and I think that there's a couple of guys breathing down his neck to be able to get out there and play at the tackle position. This is going to be a crucial spring for him. I'm not saying that that's a guy who is going to transfer after this spring, but I am saying that he needs to really put a stranglehold on this position for yourself in this spring in order to make sure that there is a five that this staff is going out of spring really trusting to say, I think we have a solid five. Now we just need to build our depth behind them. He's a guy that I expect to step up and really be in one of those spots. And the last name that I'll mention here, I think, is a guy who I don't know that he necessarily has a lot to prove, but he is getting on up there in eligibility and has had a lot of injury issues, and that's Tate Johnson. Tate Johnson is a guy who has not had a lot of snaps in his collegiate career, again, mostly because redshirt freshman injury, all of those things. He needs to stay healthy for this spring in order to continue to be a guy, because that interior offensive line room for years has been over-recruited, if we're being honest. There's just been a lot of guys that have been there on the interior offensive line, and he hasn't had an opportunity to really shine there. And because he's kind of a guy that can move around a lot, he needs to be able to come in and prove that he's a guy that they're worth giving an opportunity to come in and really perform. Now, I said I was going to mention some other guys that are here that were walk-ons. Harrison Klemmer, redshirt freshman. I want to make sure I mention that young man. He is definitely on the team going into spring. Evan Richards, still on the team, another walk-on guy that I want to make sure gets a mention out here as we're talking offensive line. Don't want to look over those two young men that are there and have an opportunity, even though they are walk-ons. You know, hey, listen, you can earn a scholarship, go out there and prove it. 6'4", 308 when when you talk about Evan Richards. So he's definitely a guy from a size perspective that can factor in. 6'2", 260. Harrison Klemmer, a little bit smaller, right? So I'm not sure that he's ready to take that step unless he's going to put on some more weight. I think at 260, he probably is the smallest offensive lineman that is out there. So maybe that's a guy who needs to still bulk up a little bit more. But as far as most approved, again, I'm going to go Jeremiah Wright. I'm going to go Izavion Miller, and I'm going to go Tate Johnson. Those young men need to show something this offseason, particularly this spring, in order to put themselves in a good position going into the fall. But that's it. I want to hear your opinions on that. Make sure you let me know right down there in the comment section who are the guys that you're looking to step up. And if you were to today, you know, I know a lot of people want to ask me this question and I usually punt on it, but if you were today to say who you think the starting five is going to be for the offensive line, who would you put out there right now? Let me know your thoughts on that. As always, again, the Morning Drop is brought to you by the good folks over at the Rogue Shop. Make sure you head over there using code RAPPORT when you do that. Lets them know the War Report sent you. But I'm out of here. You guys like this video before you get out of here. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. And make sure you are sharing the content with somebody you know. And that lets them know that the War Report's out here doing great things. We'll be back at you with another Morning Drop tomorrow. But until then, and as always, War Eagle. Drop.